It all started with a lump in my throat. You know, when I laugh and I tell audiences that if it were a metaphor, the lump would be like all the words I never said working in the corporate world.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, every Friday night. It's my start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of your weekend, too. And as always, I've got my chai tea here. I've got cinnamon and nutmeg in it to make it a little bit zippy, plus homemade almond milk and some coconut cream. I'm sure it's got a lot of caffeine, too, which is great. Coconut cream, I don't want to know the calories, but it adds a lot to it. It's just delicious. And tonight, I am just so thrilled. Have you ever had friends with someone and sort of lost touch and then just sort of reappeared and you started talking? It was like time had stood still. You just picked up where you left off. Well, that's what happened to me and Carrie Sadler the other day. Found each other on social media, I think it was. And we just started chatting on social media, had a quick call, and it was just like old times. So I invited her on because one of the things that I had missed during this time is that Carrie had come down with Hashimoto's, yet she still continues to thrive and live regardless of her diagnosis. She's so positive and such an inspiration to the world, not only in her professional world, but in the, what I'll say, the autoimmune world too, the healing and the continuing to thrive regardless of what's going on in your life. So let me read Carrie's bio here really quick, and then we'll jump right in and get chatting with her because I know you're going to love her as much as I do. So Carrie Sadler has an MBA, and she has 20 years of combined experience as a consultant manager and business manager. She has been a leader at JP Morgan Chase, WellCare, and the Tampa General Hospital. Not only is Carrie's professional certified coach at the ICF, she's also spent 4 years training hundreds of coaches at one of the top coaching programs in the U.S. In September of 17, just a couple of months ago, Carrie brought a vision to life when she launched Daily Leadership Coaching, a free mobile app designed to help leaders become better leaders. And I'm always saying, regardless of how great a leader you are, there's always some little tip or trick that you just don't know and can change your life. And with more than 1,000 downloads so far, Carrie is on a mission to remove the time and cost barrier to leadership development and coaching. Throughout her career, she's brought passion and energy to audiences as a professional trainer and speaker. And participants from Carrie's classes always say that they leave the learning environment is just fast-paced and fun and exciting, and they always leave with great information. So welcome, Carrie. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I know we just had a phone chat last time. It's so great to see your beautiful face again.
Thank you. It's great to see you as well.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, what I love, and I think this is so important, one thing I've learned is, well, it could be autoimmune related as well, but I've learned it through life that I didn't learn early enough. And it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. I think so much of life is about relationships. And what I loved was, you know, we just picked up like time hadn't been a factor, which I think is so fabulous. But tell us, I was so surprised when you mentioned that you got a surprising diagnosis of Hashimoto's. And so tell us a little bit about your background story, and then we'll jump into some other questions.
Sure, I'd love to. So, you know, it was a surprise diagnosis because it all started with a lump in my throat. You know, and I laugh and I tell audiences that if it were a metaphor, the lump would be like all the words I never said working in the corporate world. But this is not a metaphor. I literally, like, one day I just noticed that there was something, and I felt like there was something stuck in my throat. And then I noticed it again, and then it got worse. And it was one of those things where you play this game in your head, like, is that really something, yes or no? And finally, I got to a point where when I turned my head a certain way, it felt like I was choking. And then I had to say, yes, there is something stuck in your throat. You need to go to the doctor. I've always been a professional speaker, trainer, and a coach. So my voice is my whole life. And when I first went to the doctor, she said to me, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. We'll run a battery of tests and we'll send you for an ultrasound. But she was so funny because she's like, I also want you to realize that there is an anxiety related disorder that manifests itself as something stuck in your throat. So there could be something wrong with you, or you could just be crazy.
Thanks.
The only time in my life I ever wished for the crazy diagnosis, right?
Yes.
But when they did the ultrasound, literally the moment that they put that wand on my throat, I could see on the screen, you know, this very large shape that sort of looked like a half moon staring back at me. And I asked the ultrasound tech, you know, that's not supposed to be there, is it? And she's like, I'm not allowed to discuss that with you. And so then I said, well, can you just talk me through what I'm looking at? And she's like, I'm not allowed to talk to you. Of course, I work at Tampa General. I'm getting this done at Tampa General. So it's an employee. And I feel bad for the situation that I put her in, because then I pulled my phone out and I snapped a picture of it, which I also was not supposed to do. But it's a really difficult thing to look at something like that on a screen when you know it's not supposed to be there, and you know it's going to take weeks before you have answers about what's going on. But even then, you know, they did a fine needle aspiration very quickly and said, we're pretty sure that this isn't anything malignant. And all of my labs that came back early on, it looked like this was just an anomaly. Like, for some reason, the left side of my thyroid had exploded without cause, because I actually tested negative for Hashimoto's in the beginning stages, and I wasn't having any symptoms. The people who know me would tell you that I go nonstop 24/7.
Yes, we would.
My husband says, like, he can't get me to sit down and watch a whole movie with him because I'm always doing stuff. I'm just very about, you know, am I actually experiencing these symptoms? What happened after that is about a 4-month time period between when they looked at it and finally said, okay, so it's benign. We don't know what's causing it, but it's so big, it definitely has to come out. Like, it's not going to shrink. It's only going to continue to grow. And so this has to come out. And the problem is that it was pushing back on my vocal nerve. You could not see or feel this from the outside. And so this was all inside, back in my neck. And they were really worried when they did the surgery that it was going to impact my voice. And the possibility.
Oh, it's being a speaker and a trainer. That's like the worst news possible.
Exactly. And, you know, she hoped for no vocal damage, but she wanted me to know going into it that I could have no voice at all. I could have no vocal quality, so like no range in my voice, or I could come up with something that caused me to constantly have to clear my throat. Like, there were all these possibilities. And then, of course, everything could be fine. So I spent 4 months wondering, is everything going to be fine? What's going to happen? Eventually, fortunately, my voice is fine, but it was when they biopsied the mass that they realized it definitely was Hashimoto's, and they weren't sure why the tests had come back negative, that is my diagnosis.
Oh my gosh. Now, explain to everybody what Hashimoto's is, if they haven't heard about it before. We've talked about it before on the show, but just give your general understanding of Hashimoto's, and then we'll talk later about how it affected your life after that diagnosis.
Yeah. So Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease that basically causes your thyroid to attack itself. And so that's part of why over time I had developed this large mess on my thyroid, large mass. It was a mess as well. But that's why there was this large mass on my thyroid. And it will continue to cause my thyroid to do that over time. There's no cure for Hashimoto's. There is no... So there's not a prescription that you can take to stop Hashimoto's from progressing. There are lifestyle changes that you can make, and I've made a lot of those lifestyle changes and choices. And then, you know, of course, anybody who's gone through a thyroid issue, I ended up needing to take a prescription because my thyroid, once they had operated on it, was no longer functioning the way that it was supposed to.
Yes, absolutely. Now, let's jump into, because I smiled when you said lifestyle changes, because that's the one consistent through all of the autoimmune stories I've heard, is everybody said lifestyle changes. I've got my own list of lifestyle changes, which, and some people say, wow, that's a lot. But to me, that's what changed the trajectory of my health. So what is, if you were somebody to get diagnosed today, and then you were mentioning to them a lifestyle change, what would be your number one saying thing that this made a big change?
There are two that I would say are the biggest. So the biggest one is stress, because when you have any autoimmune, you know, disease, stress is always a contributing factor. It's always going to bring on flare-ups, and it's always going to make them worse. And so as a person who has an autoimmune disease, you really have to be constantly looking at ways that you can eliminate the stress in your life, or at least reduce it if you can't eliminate it.
That's a huge one. I mean, that was one of the ones that I absolutely said. Yeah. Stress. I had to reflect on my life. What, me, stress? You know, my friends are like, yes, you.
Yes. Well, there was no question about the stress level that I was under. And I would say I have very different stress now, but I have a stress now that's much more, it's good stress versus before what I had was anxiety ridden stress. And now I have sort of performance related stress. So the second thing I would definitely say you really got to pay attention to when you have an autoimmune disease is diet. And there's a lot of research out there that'll tell you for whatever specific, you know, situation you're going through, the recommended dietary changes. But the number one thing, you know, for most people, and this was my initial feelings, I used to get very frustrated because people who don't have autoimmune disease, you know, make choices where they drink soda every day and they go to fast food restaurants and they do all this stuff. And there was part of me that was jealous, like, it's not fair. Why can't I, you know, why do I have to be so healthy all the time? But that really is, you know, we deal with more than anyone else, I think, the fact that food can either be your, you know, best medicine or your worst poison. And so we really have to be very conscious of what we're putting in our bodies.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, sometimes there's a jealousy, and other times I just want to scream at people. Like, don't be here.
Yes.
Yes. Stop now. Don't be here.
Right.
But, and then it is also very hard when I know you have a family. I do too. It's also very hard when you're the one who's saying, oh, I'm sorry. And you're listing off all of the things that you can't have. And then somebody else is making toast.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this smells.
Well, so, and I mean, there's five of us in my family, and, you know, my husband has his dietary restrictions, I have mine, and then I also have a child with food sensitivities. And so between the three of us, you know, we eat lots of fruits and vegetables.
Well, that's nice and healthy. Nice and healthy. But I know it can be so frustrating. And, you know, how did you deal with that when it first happened? I know this, I've heard for myself, and I've heard from others, that this can be a bit difficult, tricky transition when there is that time. It's like, okay, I can no longer do X or have X, whatever it is, and then have family members or other people either try to help or be resistant. Sometimes I've had family members try to be too helpful, but that's kind of a whole different story. But
yeah. So for me, actually, I think I'm very in tune with my body. And so my body just was very honest with me about my limitations. And so I would say that for like the first 6 to 8 months after my surgery, I really hadn't made a lot of lifestyle changes. I was really sort of just living as if things were the way they were before. But starting in January of last year, my health took a massive decline. And literally I got to a place where I couldn't eat anything. Like, any food that I put in my mouth for the most part would create, I mean, excruciating stomach pains. And there was a lot of things that were contributing to that. And so they said maybe I was developing acid reflux, or I got to a place where I think I spent about a week and a half eating nothing but bone broth to just try to get my gut to heal itself a little bit and reset, because I was in so much pain. And then from there I had to really say, okay, so you can't live just on broth for the rest of your life. And you are at this point, your body is telling you that you've got to do some things differently. And so let's start thinking about what is it really that you're going to change? What are you going to do differently? And I saw such a dramatic improvement when I started to make those dietary and lifestyle changes that at this point, you know, when I eat something I know that I'm not supposed to, it's like my whole GI system will remind me, hey, that doesn't work for us anymore. And so it sort of detracts from the desire to do that when you know that there's going to be a pretty quick response to it.
Yes, absolutely. I've heard from numerous people, and I'm thinking of myself included, there are certain things that I eat and within minutes my nose starts to run or other things start to happen. I'm like, okay, that's telling me I can't have this. And it does get to the point where you think, okay, the cheating isn't worth I call it cheating, but the cheating isn't worth it. It isn't worth the response that your body's going to give you. And it happens so fast. It's just amazing to me how fast, once it's been triggered, it happens. And I agree with you that it is hard to, it was hard to make that transition, to convince myself that, okay, this is, oh, as my friend Tammy, we had her on the show a couple of weeks ago, said, my new normal. Yes. And all of that. So my goodness. And then what you've done is just so wonderful and so surprising, because you're what I put in the list of our thrivers, not survivors here, of people who have said, okay, you know, this is it. I've made the changes. I'm able to adapt to this new normal, and gone on to continue to thrive and actually develop new and exciting things. So we need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with Carrie Sadler in just a minute. We're going to talk to her about what it's like to you kind of balance both worlds. I know sometimes people say, oh my gosh, I just, it doesn't work for me. But Carrie's living proof that it can. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we've been talking with Carrie Sadler. She's an amazing consultant manager and business manager. And she currently is a professional certified coach and has developed a wonderful free mobile app called the Daily Leadership Coaching. And we were talking about her diagnosis with Hashimoto's and how those first few months of getting used to what it's like when all of a sudden And it was all of a sudden in a way. I know it took 4 months for you to finally get a diagnosis and a confirmation of what was going on, but all of a sudden a radical life change. And it's a very common story in a way. It's unique to Carrie, but it's also a very common story that I hear about, well, gosh, you know, here was my life, and then all of a sudden, here was this life-altering diagnosis. But Carrie's always got this wonderful, bubbly, profound spirit that just keeps her moving forward with such courage. And I wanted her to be on the show to talk to us today about how she took her leadership training. She trains leaders everywhere, but take her leadership training and actually applied it to her own life to get through this, I won't say the other side, but to get through to us this place that we call thriving. So Carrie, what are some of the leadership skills that you teach everyone that you said, okay, Carrie, this one's on me?
Yeah. You know, I would say the biggest one is resilience and grit. You know, you've got to have that resilience. You've got to be able to bounce back. But you also have to be realistic. You know, I think about, I often tell a story about a client that I had years ago who was getting ready to do an international move. So he was moving from one country to another country, and he had a to-do list that was almost 100 things.
Wow.
And I told the client, listen, you will not get all 100 of those things done in the next 2 weeks. It's not possible. So let me tell you what's really going to happen. A third of those things just don't need to be done at all. A third of them could be done by somebody else. And a third of them have to be done by you. And if you can identify and prioritize those, you might get them all done in the next 14 days. So good news is he took my advice and he got through it. But that's something sort of similar to what I had to do with myself. I had to step back and say, you now have an autoimmune disease. You can't handle the stress of your current lifestyle. What are the specific changes that you need to look at? What are the things that you need to stop doing, start doing, and continue doing? And it was a process to identify that.
And I liked also, and what else can others do? Because I'm thinking as women and as moms, and oftentimes we do things that we could delegate. we could easily, and might even teach resilience and grit to some family members if we did delegate. So
it's interesting that you say that, because part of what happened after my surgery, you know, and it was a thyroid surgery. And so it's not a huge recovery time. Really, I was clear to go back to work after like 2 or 3 weeks. But I have small children at home. And so right after the surgery, like, we had lots of conversations about, you know, you can't run up and grab mommy and you have to help mommy with this and that. And we really just maintained a lot of that moving away from the surgery. They had taken on additional responsibility, and we had them continue with those responsibilities, because there's no reason why the kids couldn't be helping more with the dishes, helping more with, you know, sweeping the floor and cleaning up their clothes and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I find it interesting, the idea of resilience and grit. Some people come up to me and say, oh, Sharon, you're so brave. I don't know how you got through the major part, the biggest flare, the big part of this autoimmune condition out to the other side. And, you know, and sometimes my eyes kind of like go cross-eyed. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't see that there was another answer. And
yes,
what I call the thrivers is they don't see there's another answer. So what are some tips that you have for people to get through that point? Because at first, yes, I did have a mopey period where I'm like, the why me? But then pretty soon you just begin to charge through it, because to me, there was no other answer.
You know, I think so much of it is just staying connected to the place where we're powerful. And so the more time that we spend thinking and talking about the things that are outside of our control, like, why did this happen to me? The more time you spend thinking about that and sort of going down that road, the more powerless you feel, the more you feel like a victim. And when instead you turn the other direction and say, what can I do? What are the choices that I get to make? What do I have control over? That's where we find our personal power. That's where you develop grit and resilience. I very much agree with you, and I have the exact same reaction to people for anything in my life who say, oh, I don't know how you got through it. And I'm like, I just should have laid down and died. You know, this is too hard. Forget it. You don't really have that option. This is life. We just get it once. So you push forward.
Yeah, I know. That's the people that I call my thrivers, my little thrivers tribe, because it's like, I don't understand the question. Yeah. It's like, and? Okay. But I think I'm not sure. When I look back at years ago, The one thing that I've learned through this whole process is I'm actually a much more patient person than I used to be. I am much more patient with myself and people now when I look back, because there are certain things that I learned through the process that I hadn't been, you know, conscious of before. I hadn't been aware of before because they just came naturally, quickly and easily. And now, not so much.
Yeah. I would say that I am much kinder now than I used to be. And I think that I was already always someone who sort of focused on being nice to people, even when there's no reason to. But there are very few things in life that prepare you for that 2 to 3 week time period that you have to wait between the time that you have a fine needle aspiration of a mass inside your body and the day that you get the results that tell you that most likely it's, you know, benign. Until you've lived through that time period in your life, you can't describe it to somebody else. And once you've been through it, it just makes you want to be nice to everybody all the time. Because during that 3 weeks, I was not going to walk around with a sign that said, I'm waiting on a diagnosis to find out if I have cancer and I could have a thyroid disease, it'll kill me next week. And you know, you weren't saying that to people and you didn't have that print on your forehead, but it weighed so heavily on you. And it was such a painful thing to go through that it really was a strong realization for me that you don't know everyone's story. You have no idea the battles that people are struggling with. And it's actually very uncommon that anybody outside your immediate circle is going to share those struggles with you. So what you should assume about everybody around you is that they could be that person who is waiting right now to find out about the rest of their life. And it's scary and it's hard and it's painful. And if you sort of have that in your heart as you interact with people, I think it really makes you behave differently. And that's true at work too, because I think a lot of time leaders at work assume that if you have an employee struggling with something personally, they're going to tell you. And the truth is often they won't, especially if it's something related to their health or something related to their marriage or their kids. Those are three things that your employees really don't want to talk to you about unless they absolutely have to. So they're not going to tell you that their marriage is on the rocks until they've got to go to a divorce hearing that requires them to miss a day that they really didn't want to miss. They're not going to tell you that they're struggling with a teenage son, you know, who's been in trouble with the police again until they get called by the police and have to leave work unexpectedly. And if you don't give people grace and just assume that they're always doing the best they can, then these people struggling through things in the outside world, when suddenly they don't show up at 110% and you dock them for it, you're really making their life much more difficult than it needs to be.
Oh, bravo. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. Because that's really very true. I think those things are very true. And going through life and understanding, instead of getting upset, I just now, say somebody cuts me off in traffic and I say, fine, you can have those 6 seconds. I will be 6 seconds behind you. That's okay.
My thing is, I'm not in that big of a hurry. I'm really not. You know?
Not anymore. It's like, no. You know, 6 seconds of my life. I'll be 6 seconds behind you. Not a problem. Yes. So, oh my gosh, that is so awesome. I'm glad you bring those up, and especially about making sure that when you work with people, and you don't have to be their manager or their leader, you know, they could be a team member going through things. And you're right. I've had so many times that I've been surprised when I was surprised. I went, Carrie, I didn't know that. Oh my gosh, what a surprise. And because the other thing is, a lot of times with autoimmune conditions, as well as other conditions, from the outside looking in, you can look just fine. Mm-hmm. You can just, you know, it's like, well, I don't see anything. You look great. Right. No one knows the level of pain someone's in or anything like that. And that's why I think it's so important. I love that saying, give people some grace and some space to actually just be who they are and go through what they're going through. That is so important. We need to take another quick commercial break. When Carrie and I do get together, it's just time flies. But we'll be right back after this quick commercial break, and we'll learn some more great leadership tips that Carrie's learned through this process, as well as even from her leadership life. We'll learn some more. So we'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Carrie Sadler, and she is a consultant and business manager. And she has developed a fascinating free mobile app called Daily Leadership Coaching that helps leaders become better leaders. And she's sharing some of the things that she learned through her recent health crisis, learning she had Hashimoto's, and how that helped her understand at a deeper level what it is to truly be a leader. And I think oftentimes I've heard that with other people about how we reevaluate during this time when we get interesting diagnoses in our life or interesting curveballs in our life, how it's time to often look back and reevaluate. And Carrie's been sharing some great thoughts. And the one that we were just before we had to take the quick commercial break was giving people grace. And oftentimes, though, I find that with other people, sometimes there's a moment where I have to gracefully educate them that things aren't the way they used to be. I don't know if you've ever run into that. But one of the things you were talking about with your Hashimoto's was that brought to my mind was sometimes that happens when you have an autoimmune condition and you're in that place of where it's going pretty good and there's no flares and you've got it all under control. And I always say all of a sudden you get an itch. And you don't know if an itch is just an itch. So what are some of the things that you found to keep yourself mentally resilient when you pop into those times that you can take from your leadership world that can help keep us mentally resilient? Because, you know, maybe I just slept crooked and I'm like, oh my goodness, is it coming back?
Yes. You know, I think that that is, for those of us who have autoimmune diseases, it is one of the hardest parts is knowing, you know, when is an itch just an itch, or when is something, you know, the foreboding, the foreshadowing that there's another, something else is coming on. And I think, you know, the same way I say you got to give grace and space to other people, you also just have to give your body time to process through things. And so, you know, you have to mentally just believe that you're doing perfectly fine until the evidence proves otherwise, and you have to actually stop and do something different. And so depending on what you're dealing with, you know, for me, my weight is like the telltale sign of what's going on with my Hashimoto's, because I will be honest with you, like I maintain such a high level of energy all the time that even when my lab said I should have been sort of, horizontal, I was still bouncing off the walls. And so for me, it's my weight. And I can tell pretty quickly if my weight starts to increase in a short period of time, you know, and I'm checking it pretty regularly, I know that that is my Hashimoto's acting up. And I also know that it's specifically diet related. And so like, I could usually tell you based on what I've eaten for the last week, what the scale is going to say when I step on it. And if it's wrong, especially if it's higher, chances are it's because there's something going on with my, you know, medication not being, not meeting my needs from a thyroid perspective. That is the biggest piece of it. We don't have the luxury of just ignoring our bodies. Like, we have to totally pay attention to what's going on and know what are our personal triggers and know what we personally need to track. You can't track everything. But for me, like I said, if I'm sort of watching my weight, it'll give me a pretty good indication of what's going on.
Yeah, that's so true. That I have specific things that I track too and pay attention to at all times. And I have gotten more attuned with my body. And one of the best ways when I first started was doing journaling. And I know it sounds kind of weird, but not so much journaling my feelings, but what was going on. Yeah. Because I swear I thought I would remember. And I thought I would remember all the tests I'd taken, all the things I'd been through. But looking back through the journal, it's so helpful to remember, oh, not only, you know, okay, this too shall pass. That's really helpful to look back. Oh, yeah, I've been through that before. Or, yeah, it was that intense before, whatever. But also the other thing that I found was when you're first going through this, there are a lot of tests. There are a lot of things that you just lose track of and that you think you'll remember. And that to me was critically important. And so I'm glad you bring up what are these certain things, that these guideposts, these markers that you have that I never used to think about. I never thought it's a cold, it'll be gone in 2 weeks. I never thought about having to keep track of it. But here I am, 3.5 years later from the diagnosis. And I'm really glad that I kept track of those early days and the early things that went on for me. That was important. And it still works to reflect back and remind myself.
It's interesting you talk about journaling. That's actually part of the app. So there are, in the Daily Leadership Coaching app, there are four things that you do every day. But one of them is that there's a space for you to journal what you're going through as a leader. So sort of where you are in your leadership journey.
Oh, well, that's what I love, because I really see conquering our autoimmune as being a leader of yourself, a good leader, because yes. I've taken so many of my executive coaching skills on leadership and applied them to my own. Like you said, resilience and grit is one of the things I talk to my leaders about. And so it's important. It's fascinating to me how so many leadership skills aren't just about business. They can be applied to your life in so many ways. Tell us a little bit more about the app and some other things that we can learn from it. And let's apply it to how we can do as our healing, whether we're just early in the diagnosis or like us, we're moving through and in that beautiful thriving space.
You know, before I get, and I will come back to the app, but you just said something that made me think of another, you know, huge connection between being a leader and the autoimmune journey. And that is writing things down. Not just the journaling piece, but for example, when you think of a question I should ask the doctor, you really have to immediately capture that somewhere. Just like when you see somebody performing well, you have to immediately write down for that person, I want to make sure I give Susie feedback that in that meeting she gave a great presentation. If we don't keep track of those things, if you don't sort of have a place, whether it's, you can do it, a recording on your phone if you want, you can tell Siri to take a note for you, you can write it down with pen and paper, however you track things, you really do have to keep track. I'll never forget early on going to a doctor's appointment. And as I was driving home, thinking of all the questions that I had meant to ask that I hadn't asked, you know, your brain is not kind. It reminds you of these things on the drive home, not on the drive there. So after that appointment, every appointment that I've gone to since then, I treated just like a one-on-one with an employee. I had a set agenda in front of me and all the things that I wanted to cover and questions that I had.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I used to have, I still have it, but I don't travel with it as much. But during the early part of the, there was just so many visits and so many specialists with my condition that I couldn't keep track of it all. So I had a notebook, an actual 3-ring binder, where I would print out and put in their visit summaries, and I had my medication list. And I have to be honest, that sometimes I felt a little defensive. There were certain professionals that sort of looked at me cross-eyed like I was a hypochondriac or something. And I would explain, look, you know, this is a lot to keep track of. This is a lot. I don't want to duplicate things, but I don't want to forget anything. And so whatever works for you, and if you have to explain yourself, don't worry about it. It's whatever works for you. Because I did go through lots of strange looks when I would pull out my notebook with my questions and be able to reflect back, oh, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so said this or whatever, and I could hand them the notes. Because oftentimes, I know doctors are just too busy to really reflect back and remember, maybe you've never met them before, but remember your visits or actually go through more than just the most immediate notes to know what's going on with you.
Yeah, this is one of the hardest things about electronic medical records that, you know, I worked at Tampa General for many years, so I'm familiar with what the medical profession and doctors specifically are going through in terms of just not having good communication. You know, we sort of thought, much like we thought email was going to make communication so much better and easier, it's not easier to communicate via email if everybody's getting 200 or 300 emails a day. And the same is true with medical records. You know, if we thought it would make it so much easier that the doctor could access all of your records, but if you're seeing 10 doctors, the likelihood that they're going to be able to review all of that information, I mean, even 2 or 3 doctors, you know, the amount of time that the doctor has to review your records and see you isn't enough time to read through a couple of those pages of notes. So you're absolutely right that you should have a binder with that information easily accessible. And I will tell you from the physician side that their looks were probably not because you were tracking what the doctor said, but because they were afraid that you were going to say, on WebMD, I found out. Because a lot of people are giving themselves honorary PhDs in medicine and doing internet research that they bring to their doctor that then the doctor has to try to counter. So I would, most doctors are probably not concerned if you're bringing in information that actually was given to you by another physician who's physically seeing you. If they see that you're a binder and they're concerned, it might be because they're worried that you've got, you know, like I said,
60 Dr. Years. Google.
Yes, Dr. Google.
Well, you know, but it brings up an interesting thing because just the other day I was in for a new test. It turned out great, so no problem there. But I did go in for a test and I mentioned to the doctor and she wasn't aware of my previous diagnosis. And that was disconcerting for me. She was the one doing the test and the test was sort of an immediate type result thing. And I guess it's okay. But I still was a little bit surprised when I said, well, you know why I'm here. It's like, well, she gave me the immediate word why I'm there, the name of the test. And I said, well, actually, no, this is, you know, related to my autoimmune condition. And she goes, oh, you have an autoimmune condition. So, you know, I'm glad I had my notebook with me. I could pull out some of the latest test numbers for her to at least get a baseline. And I don't blame the doctors. I mean, my gosh, they are under so much pressure in 5 minutes for each patient or some crazy number there.
Yes.
It's just crazy. And I think leaders in business are that way too. I know with all my corporate work, so many of them, I just say running around with their hair on fire. But sometimes I feel like that when I was in my recovery process too. So we just have a few minutes left and I want to make sure everybody has time to know more about your app, because I could just see so many parallels in healing and being our own leader versus, you know, being a better leader in the business world. So tell us a few more things that we'll learn with your app.
So, you know, the key thing to understand about the app is that it's really designed for managers and directors who have between 1 to 5 years of leadership of experience. And the idea of the app is you're setting an intention every day to be a better leader. I originally came up with the idea when I was worried that 4 months when I didn't know if I'd ever be able to speak again. And I was asking myself, what will you do for the rest of your life if you can never speak again? At that same time, because I had a thyroid problem, I was tracking all of my weight information through my Fitness Pal, and it suddenly occurred to me that leaders need something like that too. Leaders need a place, an app, where they can go every day, track certain leadership behaviors, and then over time see themselves making those improvements. So that's what I created. So every day the app is going to ask you, you're going to get a short lesson. They're typically 2 to 3 minutes. I have one very negative review that says that they are trite and cliche. They are not designed to be deep, dark wisdom. It's really just designed to help you think about this today. And then there's 6 questions that you're going to rate yourself on. And those questions are about things like giving recognition and asking for feedback and active listening. And when you think about these questions all day, every day, it's going to change the way that you interact in different situations. There's also a daily challenge that will allow for you to try to think and act in a different way today based on the information that you learned in the lesson. So those 3 things added with the journal are sort of the 4 things that you do every day. It takes about 5 minutes and it helps you set the intention of, over time, my goal is to be a better leader. My goal is to be a better leader because I'm paying attention. And if there's anything that we learn from our autoimmune diseases is that you really do have to be paying attention. And that if you're not, things can happen so quickly and progress so quickly without you realizing it because you were just on autopilot. Autopilot and autoimmune do not go hand in hand, and neither do autopilot and leadership. If you want to be a good leader, it has to be intentional every day.
Well, and when you said trite and cliche, I'm thinking about my health. Everything was cliche. Sharon, change your diet, better sleep, lower stress, fitness exercise. You know, I mean, yes, there was a fancy title, dermatomyositis, around it, but really, a lot of the healing part, the coming through the process and allowing the body to heal and recover, a lot of it was stuff I already knew, but for whatever reason on autopilot, just didn't implement every day like I should. It's not like I had this profound epiphany once I got the diagnosis. My healing, one of the things that frustrates me is sometimes I was at one of my doctors recently and I've gotten off all the meds and I'm doing quite well, so beaucoup. But they said, you're just doing fabulous, fabulous, exciting. And I said, would you like to know what I'm doing? And they, oh no, just keep doing it. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, it's not like I'm doing something very, very bizarre. And if other people could understand in one way, I won't say simple, well, maybe it's simple, but not easy. I don't know what the thing I'm trying to say is, but that it wasn't anything profound that caused the change from the autoimmune being in full force to being able to thrive and work through it. They won't ever say I'm cured, but I'm at the point where, you know, it's with the daily life changes, it's going smooth, it's going good. So sometimes I think we make things more difficult in our life than we need to.
We do. And it's not, like you're saying, it's not rocket science. Being a better leader is not rocket science. It just takes the intention and the time every day of focusing on it. And it's so easy when your goal is to get the task list done, you know, when your goal is to immediately eliminate the hunger pains in your stomach, you make bad decisions. We all do. But when you have a plan, when you know what you were going to eat when those hunger pains strike, when you know how you plan to lead when that employee crisis unfolds, it makes all the difference, having that plan.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness. We need to take another quick commercial break and then we'll be right back and learn more about how to find Carrie's app and a little bit more before we go. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Carrie Sadler, and she is the developer of the mobile app called Daily Leadership Coaching, and it's a free mobile app designed to help leaders become better leaders. And when I caught up with Carrie a little while ago, I just saw so many parallels in her daily leadership coaching and with regaining our health, so I wanted to have her on, and she's been sharing just these wonderful parallels on how so many things in life are actually pretty close or almost the same thing in just different contexts, right?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So Carrie, tell us a little bit more about where we can find your app, how we get your app, and just a little bit more of how we could work with you.
So you can find the app if you go to my website, www.dailyleadershipcoaching.com. You could also just search in Google Play or in iTunes, the same title, Daily Leadership Coaching. So it is available online. It's available on iTunes and it's available in Google Play. So it is a free app. I would encourage you to go download it, check it out. We just updated the registration page to streamline that process and make it a little bit easier for folks. And then on my website, you'll see some videos and some clips of what the screenshots look like, you know, and that type of information.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And as we come to a close, I always like to ask people any parting thoughts or anything that you wished I'd asked you that I hadn't that you want to share tonight.
You know, I think that we always focus on what was the hardest part of dealing with having an autoimmune disease. And, you know, for me, there was such a gift that came with it because I was really I loved my corporate job to a degree, but I always knew that I was a visionary, that I have this ability to create a vision, to put a strategy behind it and to execute on it. And there are not a lot of people who have those three characteristics, but I was content to be on autopilot in this corporate job doing what I was doing, maybe forever, except that this autoimmune thing happened and Hashimoto's made me ask the question, what if you never speak again? And so really, in a way, being diagnosed with Hashimoto's, having this mass in my neck, created an idea that finally shook me out of my corporate numbness, I guess, and said, you know, even though my voice was fine afterwards, what I told my husband is you don't get ideas like this very often in life, and I have to embrace this, and I have to know that this was a gift that was given to me to do something with. I firmly believe that all coaches will have an app in the next 5 years or so, and I really just want Daily Leadership Coaching to be the original app, and I want it to be the Facebook app, not the MySpace app. But that's, you know, the biggest thing is that I think it's not about finding a silver lining. It's about realizing that there was a gift in something, that there was something that you would never have learned otherwise that came specifically from what you had to go through to get there.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I think that too, and I can name more than just one thing. But that is a profound question that you asked yourself, that you asked about what happens if I never speak again. That's an interesting question that we ask ourselves as we go through this process, and being able to come out on the other side with a grand answer. And I like that you say that it's not really a silver lining, but looking for the lessons and the gifts are really important. Because heck, if you'd asked me, 3.5 years ago, maybe, I guess it's been 3.5 years, but Sharon, would you be doing the podcast, The Autoimmune Hour? And I'm like, what? No, but I'm so thrilled at not only being able to bring quality information to show people that you don't have to just survive, that it isn't this thing that where, you know, you just have to trudge through, that there are ways to actually have a wonderful, thriving life, regardless of your diagnosis. So thank you so much, Carrie, for being on the show. Everyone go to dailyleadershipcoaching.com and check out Carrie's app and join me next Friday night. Oh, before I forget, remember to go to lifeinterruptedradio.com and join Transcribe Tribe. Over there, I have almost all the transcripts up. As you know, that I've just started it a few weeks ago, and it's a process because I think we're, I don't know, over 150 episodes now. So it's been a bit of a process. But go over to lifeinterruptedradio.com, join Transcribe Tribe, get your transcriptions. And if you don't see the one, we're probably still working on it. Just drop us a quick note and we'll move that to the top of the queue. And so everyone, join me here next Friday night, Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Fridays, for another Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. Have a
Thank
great
you,
weekend.
Sharon.
Thank you, Carrie. Have a great weekend, whatever your adventures, and as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction, but recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at PinkyChenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.